Let's turn together in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll also be looking at Lord's Day 38 in just a moment. But first, let's read together from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, where we find our text this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, and then we'll start at verse 23. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 23, and that's found on page 1194. Hebrews 10 at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. And that's as far as reading in Hebrews 10 there, that reminder to not neglect or don't forsake the gathering together of God's people. Now let's turn in the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 38, Lord's Day 38. Just one question and answer here, question and answer 103. And Lord's Day 38, that's found on page 891. Let's respond with the answer together. Question and answer 103, what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. And we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Sabbath observance is something which is dramatically declining in our society. A recent study completed back in 2022 estimated that only about 20% of the American public attends church on a regular basis. I remember growing up in Northwest Iowa, there were certain towns in Northwest Iowa that had implemented certain blue laws. Blue laws would be where on Sunday there were no businesses that were allowed to be open except perhaps the gas stations. But I'm pretty sure that these blue laws are no longer established or enforced in society today. But is that the extent of our understanding of what it means to keep this Sabbath day? Would it be enough? Would it be sufficient if we would pass a law to upheld in every state, in every county, in every community in the United States, that every business would be shut on Sunday? Is that the extent of our understanding of keeping the Sabbath day holy? If we shut down all of our shops, will everyone necessarily be keeping this commandment? Certainly not. Keeping the Sabbath day is more than just not going to your normal job. It's more than just shutting down your businesses on Sunday, because as we are going to see today, the fourth commandment is dealing not only with the day of worship, but it's the duty of proper worship. So we're going to continue our study on the Ten Commandments, and we're finishing the first table of the law, coming to the fourth commandment. We have considered who we are to worship the one true God and worship him alone. We have looked at how we are to worship him as he commands in his word. We considered the name of God, and this week we are going to be looking at the day in which we are called to worship. So we look at this theme, Jesus Christ, as the Lord of the Sabbath, calls his people to regularly attend the assembly of the saints. I'll say that one more time. Jesus Christ, as the Lord of the Sabbath, calls his people to regularly attend the assembly of the saints. We start, as we have every week, looking at the foundation of this commandment. The fourth commandment reads, keep the Sabbath day holy, or remember the Sabbath day. Now, the word Sabbath may be foreign to our ears. It simply means rest. Keep the day of rest. Keep it holy. It's kept holy by setting it apart. It's kept holy as we remember it, as a distinct and special day. This, brothers and sisters, is a gift of God. The Sabbath day is a blessing because God knows our needs and He knows how we are tempted. The fact is, we are all tempted to err on one of two sides. We are all tempted to prone to extremes. We are either tempted to err on the side of laziness, where we don't work diligently 6 days, or we are tempted to err on the side of becoming workaholics, where we wouldn't take a day of rest. Here, our gracious God strikes the perfect medium, the perfect way. Work hard, work diligently 6 days, and then rest. By this commandment, we are given a proper balance. As we read this commandment in Exodus chapter 20, we find that this commandment is given to us in the context of creation. We read earlier from Exodus chapter 20, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and He rested on the seventh day." So here we find the Lord presents Himself as the divine example. "I, the Lord your God, made all things in 6 days, and I rested on the seventh. Therefore, you, as my image bearer, are called to work 6 days and then rest." Now, when the Lord rested on the last day of the creation week, it's not that He was tired or exhausted, but He rested in order to enjoy the fruit of His labor, to rejoice in the works of His hand. So here, as God's people, we are given this wonderful divine command and privilege to not work all time every single day, but to rest and find enjoyment from the work we have completed. So the first foundation of this commandment is rooted in creation. The second foundation is rooted in redemption. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we hear this: "You are to rest, for you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And as you remember that you were slaves in Egypt, brought out of bondage by the mighty hand and outstretched arm of the Lord, you are to remember the deliverance that God has given to you." So the goal of the Sabbath is to rest in order to remember divine deliverance. You rest in order to commune with God and to give thanks for the freedom that the Lord God had given to you. After the fall, this covenantal communion and fellowship with our God was lost as Adam and Eve were expelled out of the garden. But this rest in order to commune with God was restored by Jesus Christ. We are now gathered, called into the presence of God. He delights to have us come before Him and to worship Him. So when we take these two aspects together, the creational and the redemptional foundation of this commandment, we are finding that the Sabbath day, the day of rest, has something to say to our bodies and to our souls. We are to rest from slavery to physical labor. God does not expect us to work 24/7 at the toil of our hand. We are given a day of rest, indeed commanded graciously, rest for the sake of your bodies. But more than that, we are given the commandment to rest so that we would remember our spiritual identity. That we are not only created, but we are redeemed sons and daughters of God. So that when we work, we remember our goal of physical labor is working unto the Lord. Whatever we do our work diligently for the praise and glory of God. But even in our rest, we are resting unto the Lord, reorienting ourselves, remembering that man was made more than just to be a physical robot to get as much work accomplished as absolutely possible. We were created for fellowship. And the goal of rest is to remind us that we are not only redeemed, but we are going somewhere. The goal of rest is to implant within us a desire, a hunger for even greater rest. There is a, as Hebrews says, a heavenly rest that remains. On Sunday, as God's people, we remember that we are going somewhere. That there is a land of rest that we are looking forward to. So in this commandment, our Heavenly Father not only rests as an example, but He gives us a commandment to rest so that we would remember our identity as His children. Our bodies and souls are restless until we find rest in Him. Well, now that we understand the foundation of this commandment, we press on in our second point to consider the positives of keeping it. Our commandment is unique thus far in that it starts with a positive. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As I said before, the word Sabbath simply means rest. So for God's people, a day of rest means that the Lord's day is a day set apart for sacred assembly and celebration. In the Old Testament, the Israelites rested as the capstone after creation. They rested on Saturday. It was a day of preparation and anticipation. For us as Christians, we now rest on the first day of the week. It is a day of celebration for what has been completed. As Jesus rose from the dead, the church now also gathers on what is called the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So in the Old Testament, when they rested on the Sabbath day, they rested on Saturday, they were looking forward to what Christ has now completed. So we now celebrate and we remember our identity, our resting is rooted in what Christ has completed. So what should we do on this day of rest? What should we do on the Lord's Day? Well, question and answer 103 puts it like this. I will diligently attend the assembly of God's people. We read this earlier from Hebrews 10, verse 25. It's Hebrews 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembly. Do not neglect to meet together with God's people. In other words, whatever we do on the Lord's Day, this should be our priority. That I want to remember the Lord's Day, keeping the Sabbath day holy set apart, by attending the assembly or gathering together in the corporate place of worship. Hebrews 10 says, diligently, our catechism says, and our passage in Hebrews says, do not forsake. What will we do when we gather together? The catechism continues. We gather together to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. We could put it like this. When we keep the Sabbath day holy, we are making it a priority in our lives to gather together with God's people and participate in the means of grace. The Lord's Day, Sunday for us, should be all about rejoicing in the blessings we have in creation and in redemption. It's celebrating with God's people the work that our God has done for us. Remembering our identity that Jesus Christ has restored to us the gift of both physical and spiritual rest. So this day is a reminder of the blessings that we have been given, and an opportunity to rejoice and give thanks to God for these blessings. Just as we saw the last few weeks, that in the worship service, we are centering on God's word. Everything we do in the worship service is either leading us up to or a response from the word of God. In a similar way, the Christian's week should have the Lord's Day as the priority. And everything that we do throughout our week, we should either be coming back from worship or on our way back to worship. For us, Sunday is the greatest day of the week, the high point, the day of joy and gladness, worshiping with God's people, being reminded that although throughout the week we are distracted and confused, on Sunday we are reminded and this truth is reinforced. And that's why our passage says in Hebrews 10 verse 25, do not forget, do not neglect the gathering together of God's people. We are to have an ever-growing desire to participate in the means of grace, to be fed by our good shepherd. But in addition to gathering together, we are to gather together to encourage one another. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, when you gather together, encourage one another. So it's not just enough to come to church to participate in the means of grace. We come to the corporate worship service to participate in the public means of grace with God's people. There is a physical presence accompanied by an audible word that leads to a visible reminder where we encourage one another as we worship together and speak to one another encouraging words. Hebrews 10 continues then, not only are we called to remember, to celebrate the fact that we are God's people, to encourage one another, but then as verse 25 concludes, all the more as you see the day approaching. The worship service is not just one in which we gather together to be an encouragement to one another. It is also a day in which we are reminded of our futures. All the more, there is a heightened sense of preparing for what is coming. The Lord's Day and our celebration of the Sabbath here below is a constant reminder of where we are going and what is coming. Every Sunday when we gather together, we are reminded, as God's people, we gather together and we encourage each other to stand firm. Because Jesus is coming back. It's filling within us a desire so that we pray as a church, come Lord Jesus. It fills us with anticipation. Something greater is coming. When we gather together, we are reminding each other, we are reinforcing each other in this truth so that we set our minds on things above, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Effectively, when we come together as a church body every week, we are, by our presence here, putting the things of this world in proper perspective. We are given the eyes, the mind of Christ. So that way, whatever happens throughout the week, we are reminded that this is not the end. We're not building our own kingdoms. We're not working for our own glory. We gather together to be reminded that Jesus Christ is coming back. So the first reason we need to gather together is so that we don't forget. We don't neglect. The second reason is that we don't forget that Jesus Christ is coming back. And the third reason we come together is found in verse 24. We gather together to stir each other up to acts of love and good works. Gathering together as a church every week is encouraging sanctification within the flock. By your presence here, by your singing and your words of encouragement after church, you are stirring up each other. You're challenging each other to live the Christian life that we are called to live. But there's one more focus in our catechism that is interesting, and I want to just bring very brief attention to that. Question and answer 103 focuses on the gospel ministry and the schools for it that they are to be maintained. Question 103, how do we keep the fourth commandment? By having schools that train men for gospel ministry. It's a very interesting focus that the Catechism has here. Keeping the Sabbath day means that we are committed to gospel ministry. So that means with our tithes and offerings, we're supporting the local church. But it also means that we are committed to supporting Christian schools that train men for gospel ministry. In God's providence, you will note that our offering for gratitude today is for Mid-America. I didn't plan that, but in God's providence, that's what it's for. What is one way that we keep the Sabbath day holy? Is by being committed to the continued gospel proclamation so that men would continue to go forth. It's our desire to see the gospel proclaimed not only here in our generation, but in the next generation and in countries and communities around this world. The church is the place where we gather together to stir each other up to good works and to remind each other of our calling to support the gospel ministry in its various ways. Such is the connection between the Lord's day and the Lord's people. Well, now that we have looked at the positive way in which we're called to keep this commandment, in our final third point, we see that we are to avoid the misuse of this day. And to illustrate this point, I simply want to echo what an aged pastor once said to me. When this particular pastor was asked, "What things can't I do on Sunday?" he had this very wise response. When asked, "What shouldn't you do on Sunday?" his response was this: "If you fill the Lord's day by doing what you should be doing, you will not have any time to do the things that you should not." So if you fill the Lord's day with what you should be doing, you won't have any time to do the things that you shouldn't be doing. There is great wisdom in this because he avoided producing a list of things that you should not do. You might remember the Pharisees and their view of the Lord's Day was you could only walk so far, not one step further. You could only wear a hat that was so big because wearing too big of a hat was bearing a burden. There was this very legalistic list. You can do these things, you can't do these things. But as God's people, when we view Sunday as a day in which we are liberated to do the things that we want to do, but we couldn't do the rest of the week, when we see it as a day to gather together with God's people and to rejoice in the privileges of physical and spiritual blessings, that keeps Sunday not as a day of a list of things that I can't do, but as a day of joy and gladness. Now, let me speak to the children very briefly. Children, I know it is sometimes tempted to see Sunday as a boring do-nothing day. But I challenge you, children, to start rejoicing, to start putting focus, emphasis on what Sunday allows you to do. Rejoicing in the privileges of worshiping with God's people. And rejoicing in the privilege of going to church and hearing the preaching. So not only is it true that you don't have to go to school today, it is also true that you are set free to worship with God's people, a day filled with worship-filled rest. So as God's people, we need to reorient our desires. Instead of treating Sunday as a drag, rather we should be looking for ways to enjoy it and delight in it. Because Jesus Christ said this in Mark 2, verse 27. "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." The day of rest is a gift, a gracious gift, a blessing from our God. We, having been redeemed by the Lord, are given the privilege that we don't have to work day in and day out. We are given the privilege of being spiritually liberated, set free from burden to sin, death, and hell. When we see Sunday as a gift, as a day of joy and delight and festive praise, Jesus knows our weakness. He knows our need for a break. He knows how often we get distracted and confused and discouraged. And he gives us the gift of the Sabbath rest so that we would be refocused and encouraged. Thus, when we view Sunday properly, we will avoid misusing, forgetting, or neglecting the Sabbath day. By way then of a final application, I'm going to present three hypothetical situations. In these three hypothetical situations, I ask you, how would you respond? How would you as an individual, or how would you as a family respond to these situations? Tomorrow, Monday, is the unofficial beginning of vacation season. During your upcoming summer break, kids have break from school or take breaks, vacations with your family. How will you keep, how will you remember the Sabbath day? How will you keep the Lord's Day set apart when you are traveling or when you are on vacation? Will your hobbies or your relaxation time hinder the gathering assembly of the saints on the Lord's Day, both morning and evening? When they are on vacation, Hebrews 10 should be impressed upon us. Do not forsake the gathering of God's people. Situation number two. During the school sports season, which continues to become longer and longer in my opinion, how will our children keep the Sabbath day holy? How will I remember Sunday when the coach expects the team to practice or to travel on the Lord's Day? How will you answer that? Situation number three. We have some young people entering the job market after graduation. What priority will I place on keeping the sacred assembly of the saints? Will I accept a job if that means that I have to work on Sunday? Or will I be willing to be passed over for this job or this promotion in order to heed the call of the Good Shepherd when he calls his people to come? That's just three present-day challenges that we face in the world when it comes to remembering the Lord's Day as a day of rest and worship. And perhaps we might get more out of the Lord's Day if we spent more time preparing for the Lord's Day on Saturday. To get the most benefit out of Sunday, maybe we should start preparing for Sunday on Saturday so that we would be glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." Sometimes we get so busy doing things on Sunday that we forget what Sunday was created for. A day that is a gift given to man. A day of rest and gladness and joyful praise. To conclude, keeping the Sabbath day does not mean that we spend the day inactive. This might be confusing, but resting does not mean lounging and laziness. Rest is given to us so that our bodies and our souls would be refreshed, that the healing balm of Gilead would be enjoyed as we as sheep are led into green pastures and beside still waters. Rest is given to us as we live our lives in a world filled with thorns, thistles, and sweat-drenched toil and labor. Jesus Christ comes to us and fully and finally saves us, saving and delivering our bodies and our souls. So when we think of Sunday, we should think of a time to find rest from the blazing sun under the shadow of our God's almighty wing. Jesus Christ, as the Lord of the Sabbath, calls his people to regularly attend the assembly of the saints. So as we gather together, may we be reminded of the privileges that we have being created and redeemed by our God. And may our rest and worship cause us to delight in and desire all the more the rest that Jesus has secured for us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this commandment and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Lord's Day and what a gift it is, O Lord, that we can set aside our labor, that we might be refreshed in body and fed and nourished in our souls. May we see the Lord's Day as a gift given to us, not a burden, not something which is a yoke on our shoulders, but something which is a great joy and a delight. May we, O Lord, see this day and use this day properly, remembering it as a day set apart for worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.